Hello, and welcome to Talking Talmud. I'm one of your hosts here, Dana Azban, here with my friend and chavruta, Ann Gordon. Today, we will be discussing Brachot Daf Yud Aleph. And it's hard to believe we're already on Daf Yud Aleph. I feel like we're finally really in the meat, in the middle of Masachet Brachot.
I found myself turning the pages, one after another, to get to the right page today.
Okay, Ann, why don't you start with your thought for the day?
Well, here's where I'm at today. We're talking about Kriyat Shema. The Gemara is talking about Kriyat Shema, and it's talking about the blessings before and after Kriyat Shema, in particular, the blessings beforehand, Ahava Rabbah, as it's known. And there's this opinion, and I don't want to get into the ins and outs of Ahava Rabbah, but there's this opinion that Ahava Rabbah counts as a bracha of Birkat HaTorah before saying Kriyat Shema. So the Gemara then kind of segues, or doesn't bother segueing, it moves right into this question of what bracha, when do you need to make a bracha of Birkat HaTorah on the mitzvah of learning Torah prior to the text that you're learning? Not every text requires it. So we have these different opinions in this Gemara. Am Rav Huna, Limikra tzarich levarech, v'limidrash eno tzarich levarech. So we have this idea that for the Mikra, meaning psukim, from the Torah, if you're going to be learning Torah or reciting Torah, you need to make a bracha of Birkat HaTorah, that you're going to be fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But if you're learning Midrash, you know, exegetical material from Chazal, I guess is the way I would put it, then you don't make the bracha. There's a distinction there between what's the content. And then the question is, what would happen if it would be halachic midrash? So now we have Rabbi Elazar. He's got a different opinion. Rabbi Elazar Omer, lemikrav lemidrash tzarich levarech. If you are learning either or both Torah, psukim, verses from the text, or midrash, tzarich levarech, then you have to make your bracha beforehand. Mishnah, but for the Mishnah, for the corpus of rabbinic literature that we've already been talking about a great deal, the Mishnah compiled by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Eino tzarich levarech. So that's just compiled halachic rulings, which nowadays is, you know, a very strong thing. But it seems that in the time of the Gemara itself, it was like a summary book, perhaps. And so you say, as much as it became a very necessary compendium of oral law, you did not make a bracha, you did not make a blessing of Talmud Torah over it. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Af l'mishna, nami tzarich levarech. And so then, you know, the next sage comes and says, yeah, you know what? For the Mishnah, also you have to make a bracha. Aval Talmud, but for Talmud, eino tzarich levarech. But for Talmud, you do not. Now, here's an interesting thing. The Talmud, the word Talmud, is the word that we use to refer to the entire compendium of Mishnah plus Gemara. And back in the day, when the Tanaim and Amoraim, forget the Tanaim for the moment, the Amoraim are talking about the Talmud. They are not talking about the book that they are in. It's a little bit too self-referential. That's not what they're doing. They're talking about the process of the study of the Mishnah and the rationale and the derivation of halacha and the interpretation of verses. So they're engaged in the entirety of this process of learning. And then that's not the same thing as learning a physical text or a formulated text. This comes up elsewhere where the distinction between where the Gemara calls the text that is itself, it sounds like it's calling itself the Talmud, but really what it's doing is calling the enterprise that came to be the formulated text of the Talmud, the Talmud. So if you're engaging in learning, according to this opinion, where you're not having a precise text in front of you, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's when it is that you do not need to recite a blessing. V'Rava Amar, now Rava is a later generation. He's a third generation Amora. He says, Rava Amar, af le Talmud tzarich levarech. You knew this was coming, even for the Talmud, meaning even for this process, which is analyzing the significance of halacha and so on, which is a form of Torah study, right? That you're getting into the meaning of what's going on and and you're analyzing and you're comparing, and it is not necessarily a formal text in front of you, although we now have the Talmud, we call it a formal text in front of us, but that's not the process then. Rava says, no, you need to make a bracha, Birkat Talmud Torah, beforehand. This makes sense to me in this day and age where we do indeed. You get up in the morning and you, among the brachot that you say before your day is to begin, includes the brachot on Talmud Torah. And it's not necessarily clear how much your day is going to involve Talmud Torah, but we say a couple of psukim, we say a little bit of Mishnah. The idea being that we are going to be yotze, we're going to fulfill the bracha of Birkat Torah, in very close proximity to the recitation of the bracha. And then we go about our day, and it covers us for the whole day. We don't make a blessing on Talmud Torah again and again and again and again every text you open up. Ein ledavar sof, you would just keep making brachot all day long, depending on how Torah filled your day is.
So, Anne, I love the idea that we make one bracha on Limud HaTorah at the beginning of the day, and then you don't have to go back and do that again. It's very different than eating, for example, where anytime we eat, we have to make another bracha. But this idea that I think we say Birchat HaTorah in the morning, and it sort of frames our day, and we have to think a little bit about what will our interaction with Torah or what learning will we do during the day. And that it actually should be something that's consistent throughout the day. And maybe that's a reason why we don't make a new bracha every time we open up a new text. It's something I hadn't thought about, so you brought it up. And I'm gonna keep thinking about that point. I was interested in a different text on this daf, which I think brings up a totally different point about how we paskin halacha. And the idea that a Rebbe needs to be sensitive to how his or her Talmidim may interpret their actions. The Gemara is going through a discussion on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph about whether or not we sit or stand when we say Kriya Shema. And there's a machlokas between Hillel and Shammai about what do you do. Shammai saying that when you say Shema at night, you have to actually be laying down. And in the morning, you actually have to be standing up. And they base that on the psukim, ubeshifrecha ubekumecha. And Hillel says, nope, you can just say it however you want to say it. So they bring down the following brisa. Tanu Rabbanan, Beit Hillel omrim omdim v'korin, yoshvim v'korin, umatim v'korin, holchim baderech v'korin, osim b'melachtan v'korin. So Beit Hillel says the following. Basically, you can say Shema in any situation. You can be standing, you can be sitting, you can be laying down, you can be walking, and you also can be doing work. But again, I'm connecting this a little bit to the idea that we had before, which is that you sort of just say this one Birchat HaTorah during the whole day, and it sort of covers you for whatever happens to you during the day. So Shema seems to be this mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, that you sort of can do it no matter what activity you're doing during the day. So now the Braisa shares the following story. Umasa b'Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, shayu mesubim b'makom echad, v'hiya Rabbi Yishmael muteh, v'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah zakuv. So Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Elazar, they're having a meal together, and Rabbi Elazar is laying down, he's reclining while he's eating. Sorry, Rabbi Yishmael is reclining while he's eating, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he's sitting up. So when it came for the time of Kriyat Shema, Rabbi Eliezer, he lays down in order to say Kriyat Shema, he reclines, and Rabbi Yishmael, he sits himself up. Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah lo Rabbi Yishmael. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah says the following to Rabbi Yishmael. Yishmael achi, eshmol lecha mashar lemahat davar domeh. Mashal achad shormim lo zekanecha migudal, amar lehem yiyah keneged hamashchitim. Av kachata, kol zman shani zakuf, ata muteh, achshav shani heteti, ata zakafta. So Rabbi Elazar is very puzzled that all of a sudden when he goes to recline to say Shema, what does Rabbi Yishmael do? Rabbi Yishmael, now he decides to get up. And so he's very puzzled by this. And Rabbi Elazar says, he gives him a mashal to what this means. And what does he say? It's like somebody who goes to somebody and says it's a compliment, your beard is very full, like your beard looks good. I think this is interesting because when we learn about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah later on, we'll learn something specific about his beard and what happens to him when he becomes the Nasi. And then the man says, that the only reason why I'm growing this beard is basically because I'm sort of This is against all those people who shave and destroy their beards. So he says, you're the same. As long as I am upright, you recline. And when I recline, basically saying that I was trying to emulate you, I was trying to do what it was that you were doing, you decide to go upright. So in other words, what he's, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying, and he says it nicely to Rabbi Shimon, he says, Achi, is he saying, it seems that whatever I do, you want to do the opposite. So what does Rabbi Yishmael explain? He says, Amar lo, ani asiti kedivrei Beit Hillel. He says, no, I did like what the halacha is according to Beit Hillel. Va'ata asita kedivrei Beit Shammai. And you did according to Beit Shammai, meaning what position you had to be in when you were saying Kriyat Shema. Beit Hillel says, you can be sitting or standing. So what does he do? He gets up. Whereas Beit Shammai says, you must be reclining. And that's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah does. Veloot ela shama yiru hatamidim v'yikbalo halacha ledorot. And one of the reasons why he did this was Rabbi Yishmael explains is that he was concerned that students would see what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah did, and therefore they would establish the halacha for generations, right? Ledorot, halacha ledorot, that the halacha is actually like Beit Shammai. They wouldn't understand that actually the halacha is according to to Beit Hillel. And the Gemara goes on and gives a little bit more of an explanation about this, that yes, Rabbi Yishmael could have actually remained reclining, and that would have actually followed the opinion of Beit Hillel, because again, according to Beit Hillel, if you were already reclining, you could stay reclining. It doesn't actually make a difference. But the reason why he decided to become upright is because he did not want his students to believe that the halacha was like Beit Shammai. And I think this is one of these interesting tidbits that we always see interwoven into the Talmud. And you referred to this, I can't remember if it was yesterday or 2 days ago, to the story with Rabbi Yoshua and the two Talmidim who drink a little bit too much at his son's wedding. And he basically tells them, don't ask me, you should go ahead and ask somebody else about what to do. Here we see sort of another tidbit where Rabbi Yishmael says that the idea of making sure that Talmidim who are going to naturally gravitate and emulate to what the Rabbeim are doing, Rabbeim therefore have to be really, really careful to make sure that they are transmitting the halacha and not in a way that could give any sort of confusion. So with that, that concludes our daf for the day. We look forward to learning with you again tomorrow. Again, you can find us on almost all major podcasts. If you want to sign up for our WhatsApp group, find us on Facebook or email or send us a message on Anchor. And until tomorrow, go and learn.